Each of Prague's quarters contributes to the city's famous diversity in its own way and offers a completely different experience. In today's spotlight, we want to introduce you to a part of Prague that is a keystone for modern Czech cultural life, aptly dubbed by its inhabitants the Independent Republic of Žižkov. Christian Falvey has today's feature.
It's hard to imagine today as you walk along the cobbled streets of central Žižkov through the alleys of 19th century tenements with their graffiti, chic cafes, dingy public houses and little shops. But once there was nothing but grapes growing here, up and down the hills outside the walls of Prague. Just 140 years ago, this was the Royal Vineyards, rustic farmland dotted with summer houses and pubs for medieval day trippers. You can still find some remnants of that history next door in Vinohrady, where, as the name promises, there is still at least one working vineyard, but certainly not here in Žižkov, the future of which was sealed forever by the Industrial Revolution. The then royal vineyards were urbanized overnight. In 1869, there were 292 people living there. By the 1880s, there were 21,000, and 10 years later, twice that many again. Publisher Milan Polak has produced a series of books on the history and peculiarities of this special part of Prague.
The Emperor Franz Joseph I promoted Žižkov and declared it a town in 1881. And it was the individual town.
An independent town,
yeah. Yeah, with its own powerhouse, gasworks, town hall, of course, and council. Until 1922, there were some small industry. For example, Selier and Belot were the biggest munition works in the former Austrian-Hungarian Empire.
So most of the buildings in Žižkov were built as worker accommodation?
Yes, yes. Žižkov became the biggest sleeping accommodation for Prague, where the thousands of workers of big factories in Libeň and in Vysočany found their own homes. In 1922, there lived 1,204 inhabitants per 1 hectare of settled ground. It was the highest density of inhabitants from all Prague.
Byli tát měl na Žižkově znouze dvě děti, vše byl pokrývač, to račte dvě děti. Při ruce měl přidavače Tondu Bureše, který mu přidával na střeše.
The sudden rise of the industrial suburb created the unique type of architecture that dominates the quarter today. 4- or 5-story residential buildings with beautiful 19th century facades with a sweaty, gritty feel to them that no amount of paint can take away. Zdeněk Lukeš is one of the Czech Republic's leading architectural historians and described the harsh living conditions of Žižkov's early days.
Many small companies, many small factories, and some bigger, of course, narrow streets, and typical, we could say, pauper type of architecture. It means poor houses, rich decorated from outside, but the rear side is very poor. It means with systems of parallel balconies on the rear facade of the building.
So-called pavlače in Czech.
Yeah, pavlače in Czech. And it's very typical for Žižkov area, and with very small apartments, very poor. It means 1 or 2 rooms without toilets, and toilets on the balconies, without kitchen. One part of one room was dedicated to kitchen.
These features remain among the quirks of residential life in Žižkov today, where such flats are often converted into tiny studio apartments for students, sometimes still with shared lavatories, and the tiered balconies that were the poor inhabitants' social hubs remain a distinctive feature of the quarter, beloved by Czech filmmakers. But like everywhere in Prague, a wealth of architectural styles came to town along with its changing fortunes. The 13-story trade unions building, for example, was hailed as a marvel of functionalism when it was finished in 1934, the first skyscraper in Prague, and the only building in the city able to boast of new American air conditioning. But such new dreams came with mixed blessings.
It was a dream of this generation of architects, most of them were leftists and communists, to create something like a shining city by plans of Le Corbusier, Swiss architect in Paris. to create a super modern town, and they dreamed about destroying of all structures of Žižkov and replace with these monumental buildings and skyscrapers.
Why Žižkov? Why wouldn't they want to do this somewhere?
Because for the quality of life. For them it was a symbol of capitalist industrial architecture, very poor, and so that's why they hate it and wanted to create something super modern. But fortunately it was never done. But this era was jeopardized by communists in the end of that communist era, especially in the 80s, because they wanted also to destroy the structure. You must imagine that most of houses there were in very bad condition. It was a state property, everything, of course, and no maintenance. That's why that most houses were in bad condition. And there were plans to destroy it and replace it with panel arcs. It means prefab blocks. And one part of Žižkov was done by these plans, and I think it's maybe the worst.
There can be no argument as to the most lasting impression that the communist era left on Žižkov, that is, the colossal television tower that is often called one of the ugliest or the most fantastic structures in the world. There is much to be heard about this structure in Radio Prague's archive. Suffice to mention here that its construction was completely unnecessary. With suitable television antenna on Petrin Hill, the only purpose of the new tower was to override Western broadcasting signals, which was entirely irrelevant by the time it was completed in 1992. Where people work hard, they tend to play hard too, and that has always been the case in Žižkov. It has received the name the Montmartre of Prague, not just for the hills, but also for the notorious decadence and the proletariat milieu that drew artists, writers, musicians, and bohemians in general. When the Nobel Prize-winning poet Jaroslav Seifert was growing up here, before the First World War, there was a pub in every fourth building. Today there is only one for every 122 Žižkovites. The raucous spirit of the place was committed to writing by Seifert, Jaroslav Hašek, and many more, as was the crime, organized, drunk, and impoverished, which spawned whole series of detective novels set in the heady alleyways and balconies of early 20th century Žižkov. An excellent literary example where all of these aspects of life in the quarter came together is Jaroslav Žák's satire Secrets from the Žižkov Underworld. After building their own Statue of Liberty, Liberty being the surname of the Žižkov football coach, Jacques tells the story of how the Žižkovites then go on to introduce prohibition, on non-alcoholic drinks, that is. Most importantly, either from this book or from someone else in the satiric literary community, came the important, hopefully immortal, appellation Svobodna Republika Žižkov, the Autonomous Republic of Žižkov, which enjoys a fervent loyalty today that goes back to the quarter's 19th century founding.
Typical for inhabitants of Žižkov was patriotic feeling. You know that during the time of Austrian-Hungarian Empire was a very strong influence of Germans in Prague. There was one third Jewish, one third Germans, and one third Czech inhabitants. But Žižkov was completely Czech. And for the people of the end of century, the symbol of freedom was the Husits movement. And here is why Žižkov is called Žižkov, according to Jan Žižkov from Trocnov, who was the leader of the Husits movement. And you can find many names of streets which are given from the great men from the Husits movement.
In 2001, on the occasion of an official visit of the EU ambassador, Žižkov took the opportunity to declare independence from the Czech Republic and negotiate accession to the European Union. Since then, cars in the district, instead of the round CZ sticker, have proudly displayed a capital Ž. It is, of course, all a joke and a continuation of the very Czech and even more Žižkovian ability to embrace the absurdities of life and run with them. Today, as the Republic of Žižkov prospers, it only becomes more and more a center of cultural life, with more and more immigrants, both from elsewhere in Prague and from other countries, who swear their allegiance to it. Milan Polak says what he thinks are the three main staples of its lasting popularity.
Žižkov has its own spirit, we say genius loci. You cannot find another similar district like Žižkov in all Prague. A lot of poor people lived there for long centuries. But on the other hand, Žižkov lies near to the city, to the center of Prague. So now it has a good address for the people who are working in the city. And typical for Žižkov, there are many, many pubs and inns and restaurants. On each corner you can find a pub. There are pubs of different classes, cheap pubs and exclusive pubs. And it's very, very interesting, yeah.
Tu jsem vždycky Žižkovák, každý soulem kabrňák. Mně se musí jenom ptát, jak vypadá ten náš svobodnej stát.